continue our verse by verse, chapter by chapter study through the Word of God. Let me know when you're there with an amen, please.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 12, chapter 12, Hebrews. How are you? Ready? Let's pray, ask the Lord's blessing. Father God, we thank you that your word is fire. God, we want to get up under that fire tonight and let everything that's not of you burn away. We need your spirit, God, because without your spirit, we're worthless and valueless. We have nothing to offer, nothing to give. So may it be your spirit that leads and guides us. God, and I pray if there's one person here that doesn't know the power of your love, the intensity and purpose of living a life with you, God, that they would know today. Set the hearts of those that know you on fire, please, God. Fill our lamps with oil for the rest of this journey. May this be the last time we have to fill our lamp, because you're coming back soon. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It was some years ago, me and my wife had gone on a retreat, and we got down to breakfast a little late. And when you go to a buffet and you open up the little things and you got the different, the eggs that they had were like these fluffy, delicious, there's just like, and at the time I was making breakfast for my kids every Thursday. That was my routine. Every Thursday I would make them breakfast, but it's like, I'd never made eggs like this before. So I went back in, I said to the guy, I said, I gotta ask, how did you do this? How did these eggs come out so fluffy? I make scrambled eggs, they're like a doormat. He says, oh, it's easy. You put a little cream, a little water, and then you mix them, and while you're putting them on, you keep mixing them and they stay fluffy. Oh, easy. I could do that. Then I started watching Gordon Ramsay videos. Yes. And he made rice. And I couldn't believe, oh, you take a star anise and you put it in here. And he talked about how you this and then a cup of this and then cream fraiche this and easy. One time we had a guy that ran marathons. His name's Joe DeSena. He invented, actually, he's the owner of Spartan Race. He's a friend of mine. We grew up together. And he came to the gym. He's like, hey, you know, I'm really into trying all new things. I said, oh, bro, you got to come out and do some jits with us. He's like, bro, I'd love to. He said, man, I watch a lot of videos. Looks easy. He made it about halfway through the class, and then when we started working on what's called the guillotine choke, where you kind of cut the blood and the air off, he's like, yeah, no. You know, I have to run a marathon next week. I don't want to. I understand. Don't worry about it. We have a guy that works for us. He's a really good guy. His name's Tim. And for probably 10 years, he's been coming out to the gym. Never shown up yet. But he's going to come out. And he's watched a lot of, he's really into the fights. I mean, he watches the fights, and he's really hip on the ground game because he goes to, like, GracieBaja.com or something like that. And he's like a blue belt according to his online status. Well, when we opened up our home gym, he came out, and we were working on rear naked choke finishes, which is a Mantaleon. I've never had anybody tap out trying to do a rear naked choke before. When you don't understand the difference between anaerobic and aerobic exercise, you just can't explain it. If you've watched the Olympics were just on. And what's special about the Olympics is you watch these athletes, and what's the words? They make it look easy. I could do that. I could do that. It's like that song. You know that song? Billy Joel sings that song, Piano Man. And there's a line in that song. It always stuck in my mind. Bill, I believe this is killing me, as the smile ran away from his face. I'm sure that I could be a movie star if I could just get out of this place. It's a great line, man. You ever watch these guys on TV? I remember being a kid and watching, getting afraid watching scary movies or something like that, because they're so convincing. I remember watching, what movie was it I used to watch? Braveheart. With my daughter Arlie, when Arlie was like 8 or 9, and the scene at the end where he's getting killed, where they're cutting his guts open. Now, they don't show his guts cutting open, but they show his face. And she's like freaking out. I'm like, Arlie, they're not really doing it. It's a movie. I know, but it looks so real. But Arlie, stop. They're not doing it. I know, but look at his face. Man, these guys are good actors, right? They're great make-believers. What's the point? Getting to the point. Today's Bible study is this. It will separate those who have done this and want to do it better from those who think they know but haven't even tried. From those who are just full of crap, making believe, trying to make other people think that they're good at something they're not good at. There's a little bit of sadness there that I say that, because unfortunately, the vast majority of those that are in these categories fall into the latter too, unfortunately. There's very few who are still serious enough to want to be holy when nobody's watching, who work on not the show. Man, I was talking with a brother just probably a year ago. And I said, look, you don't know what you don't know yet. And he's like, what does that mean? He's like, look, you think that you can be insulated against a sexual sin. You think you can be strong enough to say no when the time comes because you've not been put in that position yet. Everybody thinks they know what they're going to do when they're in a position until the door closes. Today's Bible study is such a clear, concise, cohesive thought that at first read, it looks so confusing. But when you get to the end of this thing, you're going to know exactly what the Apostle Paul, if indeed, and I believe he is the one that wrote the book of Hebrews, meant. If you were here last week, we talked about the Hall of Faith. And the Apostle listed all these great men of God. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Moses. By faith, the walls of Jericho. By faith, Rahab. By faith, Samson and Gideon and Jephthah and David and Samuel. And by faith. And then the Bible says something that should scare us and yet give us the greatest comfort that anything else in the Bible says. And that's our study for today. Therefore, we also. That's it. Therefore, we also. Where do you stand in that faith process? Are you in that hall of faith? Are you working toward that hall of faith? Or are you just in awe? Are you one of those guys that watches the fights and, man, those guys are something else? Why don't you come out and just get some exercise, man? Let somebody hold mitts for you. Get a little grappling or wrestling in. Oh, no, I could never do that. Well, you can never do that, but, I mean, go out in the backyard and throw some balls to your kid. You know what I mean? Oh, I can never do that. Why? I watch that guy on TV. He throws 110 miles an hour. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you can't try. Give it a go. You guys have heard me say this. I mean, I probably talk about it a little more than I should just because it's such a great point of interest for me, but I think UFC is the greatest thing that's ever happened to this country. I really do. I think it's taken kids out of their computer room, off of their screens. They've learned hard work. There's a whole generation of kids coming up willing to put it on the line, especially since now that our military is so woke. Therefore, we also. Watch this. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Did you guys just hear what this said? Chapter 11 talked about all those great men of faith, and now chapter 12 says this, and I am not, this is not sanctified imagination. This is what it says. They're all watching you. Since you're surrounded by these witnesses, now what's the other implication there? Well, I'll give you the other implication. And I say this with authority of the Word of God. Have you lost somebody dear to you? A child? A parent? A friend? Well, guess what? They're watching you. What they gave you when they were on earth, they're expecting you to use now. And if you don't utilize it now to the fullest, what does that say about you? Well, that's a little harsh, Ryan. Yeah, it is. Says the guy who's lost two brothers, parents, friends. I fully expect my brother, when I get to heaven, to look at me and go, "You're such an idiot. I made it here. You could have done so much better." Yeah, bro, but don't bro me. Get in here. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that as long as I get there. Right? You lost a parent? What did they leave you with? What are they expecting from you? Because whether you like it or not, whether you agree or not, the time that they had here was the exact time allotted to them. And you got from them everything that God wanted you to get from them. And since you are surrounded by such an amazing witness, what are you doing? I didn't know it was going to be this heavy today, Ryan. You see, I brought a friend, and well, they're screwed. What do you want me to tell you? Sorry. No, come on. Therefore, we also, sorry, it's loud. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what do? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Okay, all right. Okay, here we get it. Now here's our encouragement. You got something that's constantly nipping at your heels. You got something that's always dragging you down. You got something in your life, and for the vast majority of us, it's a lustful thing. It's a premarital thing. It's a postmarital thing. It's a click thing. It's for the vast majority of us. But there are other stuff. For some people, it's a little herb. Some people, it's a drink. Some people, you know, it depends what it is. I would say the 75 to 80% is the lust thing because the society that we live in. But if it's one of those other things, what did the Bible just say to do since we're being watched all the time by these people? Lay it aside. Lay it aside. It's not doing anything for you, and you got work to do. There's this guy named Eddie Bravo. He's a really famous jiu-jitsu player. He invented this American jiu-jitsu stuff, and he did this thing called rubber guard. And for a while, when my son was just 10, 11, 12 years old, he got really good at rubber guard. So Eddie Bravo came out with this book, How to Do Rubber Guard. And I started reading this book, and I was reading it with my son, and then in it, it said, you have to smoke a lot of pot and get really creative with your jiu-jitsu. I was like, well, that ends that, son. I'm going to have my kid smoke an herb. I was like, what an idiot. And then you do a little research about Eddie Bravo and you find out he's an idiot. I don't know the guy. Like, I've never met him or anything like that, but he's really about herb. And it's like, Eddie, have you thought about the people that are listening to what you're saying? The kids that... No. It's time to lay aside every weight, every sin. It's time to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, the Lord Jesus had opportunity, lots and lots of opportunity to sin, but never took it. And he said, I want you to consider him. I want you to think about the Lord. He started this thing. He's going to finish this thing, which is your faith. Remember? Therefore, we also. He started your faith. He wants to finish your faith. And what is your job to do with this faith? To run with endurance. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. What have we been talking about now for probably 2 years? You get saved, and you know what the first thing you find out after you get saved? There's a lot of living to do. It's like it'd be really great if you got saved and boom, gone. Ah, hallelujah. I'm in heaven. I got saved. But no, there's living left to do. And God keeps throwing these things at you. Like some people get like a pile of money. Like, well, now what are you going to do? Some people get opportunities for, again, the sexual sin. He throws these things at you. It's like, well, it came from God. Do I get to do it what I want? Well, you're supposed to do with it what you're supposed to do with it. What am I supposed to do with it? You know darn well what you're supposed to do with it. Yeah, but I tried to cook that rice that guy Gordon Ramsay cooked. I tried to cook it over and over and over and putting that star anise. I had to go to, I don't know what star anise is. And he cooked it and it looked so white and had these little stars in it. I could almost smell it looking at the way he cooked it. I want it to come out just the same way. But every time I cook rice, it comes out like risotto. If you're Italian, you know what that is. If you're Asian, Brian, sticky rice. It just doesn't come out the same. Because I thought I knew what I'd do if I had that opportunity. I didn't. You got to stop that as a young believer. You got to stop thinking you know what you're going to do. It's not how close you can get to the sin without sinning. It's how far away you're supposed to be from it. Go right up to the line. Well, can I watch this YouTube video? Can I watch this YouTube video? I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't intend to do that. You know how many times I've heard that in my office? I just go like this and go, I didn't mean for it to happen. And then my least favorite three words that I hear from teenagers, which makes me just want to smash them. It just happened. It just happened, huh? You didn't have to untie your shoes first, right? It just happened. Hey. The Lord Jesus despised the shame also, but he endured the cross. Yes, your friends are going to make fun of you. The guys at the gym, the girls at the office, yeah, they're going to make fun of you. Oh, we're going out to this place to grab a drink. Yeah, that ain't my thing, man. Oh, come on. Oh, I forgot you're a Christian now. Got to get up early for church tomorrow. Yeah. For consider him, verse 3, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He kind of what's called throws an ice cube in this hot drink right now. He throws a little ice cube in the hot drink. Oh, is it too hot for you right now? Here's a little ice cube for you. He goes, I want you to consider the Lord, what he endured. Don't grow weary. If the Lord Jesus went through it, you're going to go through it. Yeah, but they made fun of me. It's all right. It's all right. And then he says something really powerful. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Like, what's your sin? Like, I got a few ideas for you. Okay, let's work this together. I got an idea. Don't carry a smartphone. Huh?
Oh, but you understand, man. I use it for work. You know, I got to promote myself. That's why I have a Facebook page and, my Instagram page. It's because I got to promote myself. You know, I need a Snapchat, too. Well, you know, dating apps also. Well, you know, just in case.
Can't figure out why your wife's always mad at you, huh? I got a reason. You haven't resisted to bloodshed. The Lord Jesus resisted to bloodshed. When he didn't hear the voice of God at all in his ear, and he was in the garden crying out, please, not the cross. I'm waiting for the Lord to show me a sign, because I know at one point he said the cross, but I feel like the cross isn't the way. I feel like there's another way. I feel like my happiness is really important here. And he said, what did he say? You guys know what he said. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he sweat great drops of blood. I want you to think about something. They come to arrest the Lord Jesus. And Peter pulls out a sword. And he goes to lop the guy's head off. The guy turns at just the right time. He cuts his ear off. And the Lord reaches and says, Peter, put your sword away. So don't you think I could call my father to have 10 legions of angels like this? What are you doing? And then he takes the guy, like Ken says, and pops his ear back on like he's Mr. Potato Head. Karen, what? You got the potato head thing, huh? Once she starts, guys, it's going to take a few minutes. Give her a second. Let it wash through you. Go ahead. Let go. There you go. Once you get to that point, you just got to let it run its course. At any point in time, when they whipped him, beat him, crucified him, cut him, stabbed him, gambled for his clothes, he could have said, you know what? I didn't know it was going to get this bad. And he could have put an end to it, but he didn't. And I just want us, as men, without no condescending here, no condescending whatsoever. You don't know how bad it's going to get for you. Don't do it, man. It's not worth it. The destruction of your life. The Bible says in chapter 7 of the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to put his instead of her for the ladies here. His feet lay hold of hell. Ladies, don't do it. His feet lay hold of hell. And then he says something really interesting here. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. And this is also as daughters. Unfortunately, in our day and age, I have to add that this is a multi-gendered exhortation. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all you have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more be readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, indeed, for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but he, for our profit, let me reiterate that, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You see, God wants to prepare you for the trials that are coming your way. He wants to prepare you. So before the fight, the training. Before you're going to fly the plane, you have a simulator. Before you break your leg, he's going to let you skin your knee. Before you get hit by a boulder, you're going to get hit with a pebble. If you start complaining, why did God let this happen? Why? God could have stopped it from happening. Because he doesn't want the real thing to come upon you. You haven't ruined your life yet, and he's trying to help you not ruin your life. That's why he's letting this happen now. Because I know so many people that are not here, even in this little church anymore, who could not handle the chastening of the Lord and ran away into the arms of the world again, never to be seen again. I'm not like they left here and they're going to another church. That's their business. Praise God, as long as they're walking with the Lord, going to church. I'm talking about people couldn't handle what God was doing in their life, and so they just went back into the world. Do not despise the things that God's doing. It was Ace Frehley from the rock band Kiss. When asked, he said, "The only thing that having a lot of money has afforded me the ability to do is to not worry about having a lot of money. Everything else still sucks." Everybody thinks money is the answer to the problems. Until you got the money, you find out it just leaves bigger questions. It's the answers you had right, but you had the wrong question. "But I just lost my job, but COVID did this." Oh, listen, COVID is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. If it were the real emergency, you would have seen a light shine from one side of the sky to the other side of the sky, and your butt wouldn't be here anymore. It's only a test. But the trial is coming. Jacob's trouble is coming. And it's right at the door. Man, it's at the door. Fill up your lamp with oil now. Therefore, verse 12, since all those things have been alliterated and translated and explained in detail, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Let me put that into terms you'll understand. My father was my boxing coach. I boxed as a kid. We did the silver gloves, the golden gloves. We did regionals. We did nationals. We did all these tournaments as boxers. And my father had a very old school way of teaching boxing. He believed that you showed up underweight and then went up to the weight. So our weight cut started a week and a half before the fight, not just a few days. And my father used to say, when the bell rings, your mind will be your worst enemy. My father believed that when that bell rang, his fighters would have no excuses except to go back at the end of the fight and say, I did the best I can, win, lose, or draw. My father believed that if you're fighting a 3-round fight, you train for a 9-round fight. My father believed if there were 3-minute rounds, you trained 5-minute rounds. My father believed that road work was the key, the key to the key, the key, the key. Everything was road work, road work, road work, road work. Run, 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 every single day. Because he believed that when the bell rang and the fight started, your brain goes, oh, you didn't do your road work. He believed when that bell rang, you didn't slip punches. You've been ducking them and moving backwards. He believed when that bell rang, your brain was, and he I don't know if he did that on purpose to make us think that, so that way we went in with the maximum amount of confidence, but my father was big on that. My father would have us soak our hands in pickle juice because he believed it would toughen our knuckles. My father never let me sit and watch TV without taking a piece of towel. He would take a towel and he'd soak it in water and wring it out, and every time I sit and watch TV, he would chew on this. So you strengthen your jaw so you can't get knocked out. Couldn't do anything. Everything to him was an exercise in fighting. Fighting, fighting, fighting. There was no days off in my father's house. There wasn't. There's like nothing. Did you spar today, Rye? Yeah, Dad. Here's the thing, though. I don't want to spar tomorrow because I'm having headaches when I lay down. You know what my father's response to that was? Some of you guys know I've said this before. You'll get used to it. So what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Do you just want to tell a cool story about your dad? No. I'm going to ask you now. How are you going to strengthen your hands? How are you going to strengthen your knees? How are you going to do it? Every single day. You must be in prayer. You must be reading your Bible. You must be worshiping every single day. You must be sharing the love of God with people every single day. There are no days off. There are no times off. Not Wednesday and Sunday. Not just Sunday for you guys who only show up to church on Sunday. Every day, all day, that's training for this thing, man. That's training. That's what we do. That's how we do it. Otherwise, when that bell rings, you ever talk to a Muslim about heaven? Very interesting. Some Muslim friends, hey, what are you going to do on Judgment Day? Well, most of them have the guys that I've talked to are these Russian from the Eastern Bloc countries. Should Allah be graceful? Should Allah be graceful? You don't know? Don't know. They have no idea whether they're going to heaven or not. Me, I know that I know that I know I'm going to heaven. Because the Bible says, if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead, I will be saved, saved from this generation, saved from hell, saved from death. I've been born twice, so I only die once. Whereas if you were born once, you will die twice. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Please give me your attention. Here, the Apostle Paul breaks us down further from our personal sin to now our the way we look at other people. You got people that you're not talking to anymore? Did you have a crossword with this person? Some people, they just got ways. Just got something about them. Don't like that person. Like, go to heaven. Leave me alone. He says, pursue peace with everybody. Don't let any root of bitterness spring up. You need to think about who it is in your life that you're holding stuff against and get rid of it, man. Do the best you can. Here, in another section of Scripture says, as much as it depends upon you. If it's up to you, live peaceably with them. Because any root of bitterness can screw your walk up. Any root. Yeah, but you don't understand, that person molested me. You don't understand, that person robbed me. You don't understand. No, that's right, I don't understand. Didn't happen to me. Not at all, none of that stuff. Hobbits deliver my groceries. Yeah, I forgot. I understand. Me and my brother were molested by a baseball coach and when we were 8 and 9 years old. My father brought us to this coach and he would do crazy things. Like, we just got hypersexualized at 8, 9 years old. So many of you have that same story. And you think you're alone and you're not. Let it out now. You know what, Phil? I forgive you. I hope you're not doing it to anybody else. I hope. But I can't carry that anymore, man. I can't. I can't. Hey, man, I forgive you. I didn't do nothing wrong to you. I know. I just wanted you to know. I forgive you. You don't need to forgive me. I don't need your forgiveness. Okay. Well, I love you. Because God said I have to love you. It ain't easy. Some things are just obedience. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. It's the last part of Scripture we're going to study today. We're almost done. He says, listen, if you don't know the story of Esau, Esau had a brother named Jacob. And he said, man, I'm hungry. Can you make me some food? And he said, man, you know what? I'll make you food, his brother said to him. Give me your birthright. He's like, what good is a birthright if I'm dead? I'm starving to death. Like, your kids ever say that? I'm starving. You ain't starving. You have no idea what it is to starve. When we were kids, we knew it's enough. Right? Never. Never starved in my life. Ramen noodles was always a dollar away. 10 for a buck, right? He said to his brother, man, take the birthright. Just make me some food. And then later on, when his father was blessing him and his brother, he says, no, no, give me the blessing. And the Lord, through his father, said, you sold your birthright. Yeah, but I was only kidding. I didn't mean it. No, give me my blessing. You don't get it. You sold it. And here's what he's saying here. You got to be strong. Because you make a deal with the devil, you don't know when God's going to hold you to it. Be careful about the deals you make. Be careful about the things that you say. Because the Lord Jesus put it this way. It's not the things that go in a man's mouth that defile him. It's the things that come out. Be careful what you say. Be careful how you hear. For one morsel of food, this guy sold his birthright. And when he wanted it, it wasn't there. This, my brothers and sisters, and you can close your Bible here, is the greatest thing about being a Christian. When you become a Christian, God covers you in a spiritual Teflon casing. So that way, you now have the ability as a Christian to go like this and get that sin off. Whereas before you were a Christian, when you sinned, it stuck to you. Anybody know what a 2.5 plate is? 2.5 pound plate. It's like that big. It has a little hole like a donut. You put it on when you're trying to go up in weights. Anybody know what that is? Jamie, you know what a 2.5 pound plate is, right? You don't use, they use it. What do they use these days? 5 and up, huh? Whoa. Jamie. That's 10 pounds at a shot, huh? Atta girl. Well, when you sin, it's like a 2.5 pound weight sticking to you. Until by the time you're 30, 40 years old, man, your shoulders are like this. You come to church and somebody preaches a message and you open your heart and you accept Christ as your Savior and all those, it's like everything just falls off. It's the greatest, I'll never forget that feeling, the weight. That was the one thing I remember probably most about the day that I got saved. The day I got saved, it was like a weight came off my shoulder. That's the only way to describe it. If you don't remember when that happened to you, I'm going to suggest something to you. The creator of all creation, the one who flung the stars into space, came and took up residence in your spirit. And you don't remember that. There was nothing different about you. You better examine yourself. And I'll give you another opportunity now. Without being embarrassed, ashamed, I'm going to ask you now to say a prayer of salvation, to say, dear God, I open my heart, I let you inside, to give God that chance again to enter into you, seal you, push those 10 pound plates, if you're Jamie, off. Because her mother doesn't own 2.5 pound plates. And you will feel the only thing that you ever need to feel again, and that's the freedom to follow God. The freedom not to follow the crowd. The freedom to lay aside every sin, every weight, and the sin which so easily ensnares you. The freedom to relate to Christ. The freedom to not complain when God does really tough things in your life, because you know it's training and you're getting ready for the real thing. The freedom to forgive people because you've been forgiven. And if God can forgive you and all the horrible things that you've done to everybody else, there's the worst. If you've not seen Paul, Apostle of Christ, I highly recommend you watch it. I've said this numerous times. there's a movie that came out, I think, in 2017 or 18 called Paul, Apostle of Christ. It's with the guy that plays Luke is the guy that played Christ in Passion of the Christ. It's just and the thing that the movie did kind of with sanctified imagination, and I'm going somewhere with this in the idea of the salvation, is the one thing that Paul couldn't kick was the memory of those that he'd hurt. And I, as a believer, somebody that's been walking with the Lord now for over 25 years, I can't kick it. I still think about the ex-girlfriend that I made abort a child, the other girl that I made abort a child, the dude that I beat up in prison. I just think about the time I bullied that kid in high. God, I know I'm supposed to forgive myself, but how could I have been so bad to people? And that's what Paul struggled with. And at the end of the movie, it's so amazing how he gets to heaven and all those people come like running at him. It's just such a beautiful story of redemption. It filled me with such a wonderful hope. And if you want that hope and you don't have it yet, and you're either so filled with regret from the people you hurt, or you're so filled with pain from the people that hurt you, there is a way out, and it is through Christ. So if you are here and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and today is the day, and you want that Teflon coating, you want that power to forgive, you're tired of feeling sorry for yourself, stand up to your feet and let's say this prayer together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't matter if you've done it before. You can make it a renewal. That's fine. Don't carry it alone no more. Listen. Man, I remember when me and my wife went forward together. We had supposedly already been saved, but just were doing so much stupid stuff, so we went forward, and then somebody later on was like, hey, why did you guys go forward? You've been coming to church for years. Like, I don't even know. I sensed. Instead of I felt something, I sensed something, maybe for the first time. This time it wasn't the persuasion of the preacher, it was the power of the Spirit who just said, man, if I hung up on a cross in front of everybody for you, you could stand up in a church of 50 people for me. So if you want to stand up and rededicate your life to the Lord, don't be afraid. Now say out loud, I'll say the words, you just repeat them and mean them in your heart more than anything else, just like real, just you and the Lord right now. Say, dear God, I open my heart and I let you inside. Be my friend. Be my Savior. Be my God. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for my sins. And I receive that forgiveness. I'm ready to give that to others. To hold no more, but to forgive everybody else. I've decided this day to follow you. Identifying as a Christian without fear, without apprehension, without regret. I love you. In your name. Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 If you have questions about the decision that you made, I'll ask the leadership guys and gals to come up here just to be available. The Lord's going to do the work. If you need a Bible, take one. But either way, we're here if you need us. All right? Thank you guys for coming. y'all that come to this night, the Sunday night service, I'll see you at the beach tonight, all right?